Today's message is entitled Day of Rest and Refreshing. Day of Rest and Refreshing. God promised to the nation of Israel His blessings when they would keep the Sabbath, because it is a sign that they are set apart as God's people. Isaiah 58 verses 13 and 14 is a point of warning to the people in Israel. It says this: if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This is a promise of God's blessing to satisfy the desires of your heart as you delight in the Lord, in keeping His day holy. The word Sabbath comes from the verb to repose. The word means to desist from exertion. To desist from exertion. The word there means to cease, to celebrate, to stop. Thus, it means rest and cessation. The first mention of the Sabbath was in relation to God's rest after 6 days creation. After the 6 days creation, Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 tells us, and on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And the Lord blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. The commentator, A.W. Pink, he observed very well. He says, it will be observed that 3 actions of God in connection with the Sabbath are here mentioned. He ended His work which He made and rested on the seventh day. And He blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it. We believe the order in which these 3 things are mentioned is the order of spiritual importance, confirmed by the first thing mentioned being repeated. Right, so here the Lord gives to us the historical context out of His word, why He appointed the Sabbath. So 2 thoughts that we want to think about. Firstly, the Sabbath is a gift of rest. And secondly, it is a day of refreshing. It is a gift of rest, and it is a day of refreshing. The seventh day, right, we think about the first thought, the gift of rest. Why did God give us a day of rest out of 6 days, after 6 days of labor? Well, because if you are a working person, you would understand, right? Whether you are a teacher, whether you are doing in your own professions that you do, right? You would, in the normal work life, go to work, prepare yourself, in the morning, and you have your 8 hours of work from the 24 hours that you have. And then the new day begins again, you begin again with another day of labor. And the new day begins again, you begin with a new day of labor. And this will go on for 6 days. And the Lord says, on the seventh day, you better rest. It is for your refreshing. The Lord Himself rested on the seventh day after He created in 6 days. The seventh day was set aside at creation, but the Holy Sabbath was first given to Israel and first mentioned in the biblical text in Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. After 2.5 months departing from Egypt, okay, they had their provisions from God, right? They took whatever they could carry of food and nourishment out of Egypt. And after 2.5 months, their supply of food was depleted. Nothing on the table. Is it serious? Yes, very serious, right? And it was at that time that God said to them that He would rain manna from heaven. In the morning, they would pick the manna. In the evening, they would pick up the quails that would come. But on the sixth day, they would pick double portion. There will be enough for them. So that on the seventh day, they would desist from this labor of providing for themselves what they needed and rest. And you would see, and God wants us to understand that rest is a gift from Him. Rest is a gift from God. A gift of rest to God's people. After they came out of Egypt in the wilderness, well, life was not that easy because they don't know how they are going to be provided for the next day. But God said to them that He will help them, and what they needed to do, the work that they needed to do, was to carry, go and pick up the manna, and they can cook the manna in whatever way they would like. Right. So you can fry it, you can bake it, you can steam it. Well, we said that, you know, you do all these things, and the process of preparing it, we all know how laborious it can be. Right, to prepare a meal for the family, you make sure that you have all the ingredients, then you have to cut and chop and put them together, and then before that you have to make sure that you get your supplies, right? You have to choose what you want to cook, and then the cooking itself, and after the cooking, the washing. And how many meals do you eat a day? 3 meals, 4 meals, 5 meals? Wow. Just catering for the number of meals we have to eat. Very busy. Right? And what was the labor that God appointed for the people? Well, after the fall of man, God said that in the sweat of your brow, you shall eat your bread. No labor, no food. Well, this was the cursed economy after the fall of man. But God did not leave man without help for his perpetual existence. And God had to implement a mandatory rest. Anyone tell you that it's time to sleep, you have to sleep? Maybe when we are young, our parents will tell us, time to sleep, better go to bed and sleep. You know, because if you lose your sleep, then the next day, you're going to be very tired, no strength for the next day. So is it logical that man would need that rest? Well, if we think about it, you realize that yes, indeed. But there is a deeper meaning to the Sabbath that the Lord wants us to know, you see. And today we are going to explore it. So we say this, that it was a gift of rest. They were 2.5 months out of Egypt on the 15th day of the second month after leaving Egypt. Okay. And the Lord tells them that 6 days you provide for yourself, 7th day or 6 days you provide for yourself, but on the 6th day you would provide double portion for your 7th day. Okay, verse 23 of Exodus 16, you see. And he said to them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. So this is the first mention of the Sabbath. Alright. Bake that which you will bake today, seethe that you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. So there was no manna in the field. Even if they wanted to pick it up, it was not available. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the 7th day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And that is a principle that the Lord wants us to bring over. Why is it that, you know, here in Singapore we keep our Lord's Day, the Sunday, as a day of rest? Why do we do that? Let us learn the principle. It is a day that God has appointed for us, a gift that God has given to us for your rest. Physical rest, spiritual rest, to rest from your labor, and to rest spiritually in order that we may understand and reflect upon the good work that we have done in the 6 days. Right? God did a whole lot in the 6 days. He created the universe. He made the earth, he populated it, and he created man in his image. Right. Like what we have studied last Lord's Day, we said that the man is the delight of God. The delight, the the most precious of God's creation. And we are the most precious of all of God's creation. You are special. You are made in the image of God. God had delight for you, toward you. God wants to bless you with His presence. But for Him to do so, He had to mandate for you not to stray away from the blessing that He has appointed for you to receive. So He has appointed the Sabbath day rest for us, you see. So verse 27 of Exodus 16. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore He giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So, what more can you ask for? You don't need to work that day, and God already provided for you double portion. So the Lord wants us to understand when He mandated for us to do certain things, it is for our good, it is for our strengthening, it is for our blessing. The word Sabbath described the day as it was officially established in the Ten Commandments at Sinai. It was the seventh day, and it was to be kept holy, set apart to the Lord. Right? Exodus chapter 20. Right? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Do you shudder when you think of work? 6 days you have to work. Wow, 6 long days, you may say. But the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in that thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is therein, and rested the seventh day. And wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day. In that day you receive the blessing of God, and hallowed it, make it, appoint it as a day that God's people will set apart. You see, the heathen world will not understand the need for a Sabbath day, a day of rest. You imagine you work 7 days a week. How to survive. But the Lord has already appointed it such that you will have enough by your working for 6 days, so that you would have that day of rest on the seventh. Why are you not appropriating it? And notice the Lord rested on the seventh day and blessed it and hallowed or make it a holy day. Why did God appoint a day of rest for His people? It was that they would cease from their labor and their occupation to work out a living. You are occupied with providing for your daily necessities for 6 days. It will be a break for you from your labor, and in that appointed rest, you will be provided for, in that God will grant you a double portion in the sixth day, so that there shall be enough provision for you in the time of your rest. So God wants you to live in faith, to believe that as you do your work in the 6 days, He will provide you enough for your seventh day. So we need to trust God that there will be sufficient for us. And it is a test for us, but at the same time also it is an appointed gift of rest. It was a time of quiet, and that's the meaning of the word, and rest, so that the body will rest from its labor to recharge, to reflect, to prepare to resume work. And you're going to begin again for another 6 days. Then another 6 days. Well, that's life on earth, isn't it? So there was a brother who said, since I was young, I look at my father and my mother. Every day they would go to work. And they would go early in the morning, and you wouldn't see them until the end of the day. And when they come back, wow, you can hear how trying it is out there. So many challenges that they are facing. Father talking to mother, mother talking to father. And they are old now. But it was with it that the children were brought up to who they are, what they are today. This man reflected as he looked at his thing about his father and his mother. And notice this section comes after God had given all the instructions. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 18 comes after He has given all the law, after He has given the blueprint for the building of the tabernacle, after He has appointed the priest. This is what we have been going through, right? The high priest, what he is to put on, what he is to do, how he is to be consecrated. And the beginning of the chapter, in chapter 31, you see the appointment of the skilled workmen. Right? First time God placed His Spirit upon men so that they would have the wisdom to build God's house. It was and you would notice this, that after all this, the Lord tells them that there is an appointed rest after all the work. And the word there, the rest that God has provided for them, is to be a delight. Remember Isaiah 58 verse 13, we said, if you turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure, and call the Sabbath a delight, something desirable, something enjoyable. Okay. The word there means enjoyment, pleasure, pampering, luxury, to delight in the Lord. And so the Bible dictionary for words gave this comment. The path to true self-fulfillment does not lie in a preoccupation with self, but in selfless preoccupation with God. The path to true self-fulfillment does not lie in a preoccupation with self, but in selfless preoccupation with God. So you see that there is a change from our normal life, right? Before we become a Christian. Because our normal self would want to fulfill the delights of ourselves. This is what I want. But the Lord says differently. Right, Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. So, the path to true self-fulfillment does not lie in a preoccupation with self, but in selfless preoccupation with God. A contrast between a feast over against a fast. For the Lord is more interested, this dictionary says, in enjoyment of its blessings through obedience than self-imposed deprivations. Right? If you choose not to rest, you choose to work, who suffers? Yeah. And Israel later on had reduced this observance to a mere external ritual. Not really resting. Their mind is somewhere else, not delighting in the Lord. What is going on? They were not really resting and enjoying or joying in the blessings God has for them. They had lost sense of the essential link, right, this dictionary says, between spiritual demands of worship and the moral responsibilities towards fellow humans and society. So, you know, they said, if your ox, they were a farming community, so if your ox fall into the ditch, or your neighbor's ox fall into the ditch, you cannot help, let the animal die. Right? The Lord says that, no, the Sabbath is made for men. Right? It doesn't mean that, you know, you look at the animal die and you just leave it there. See, you lose the sense of what this law demands. The people had turned to their own desires because they did not perceive Sabbath observance a delight. Okay, so you see, if we have not cultivated, you begin your Christian life, if you have not begun well with the right understanding of the benefits that God has for you, then you're going to trudge along in your Christian walk, isn't it? But if you would begin well and you take hold of God's gift of rest, of the Sabbath, then here, our text tells us in Isaiah 58 verse 14, thou shalt Then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. You will be provided for. God will bless your life. So you see here, the Lord wants us to think carefully. Right? It's not a commandment that you just follow blindly. But it is for you, for your advancement. Thus, they had not honored the Sabbath, but had treated it as an empty ritual in pursuit of their own selfish interest. And so Isaiah calls for a change of disposition. If God's blessing is going to be experienced, they must perceive that true Sabbath observance is not only a profitable religious and social provision, but a true delight. And the word is used in various contexts of what we said, covenant, curses, and blessings. Right? God promised that this is what you will get. But if you choose to reject the gift, then you would indeed lose out, you see, that the day was blessed by the Lord and it is to be observed by Israel forever. Speak thou, verse 13 says, also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. That means it is a distinguishing feature of your life. Right. It differentiates you from all the other nations of the world. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I am the Lord that doth make you holy, make you in a position whereby you can draw near to me and receive the nourishment that the Lord would like to give to his people. For ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Why is it that the Lord would mandate also a death penalty upon those who would not follow? You'd find that, you see, when you have someone, right, who choose to forfeit his rest, forfeit his gift from the Lord, it would affect the other people in the nation. And the Lord doesn't want this disease, this infection, to be affecting and impacting his people. Because they are a witness to the blessings of God, you see. So God had to stop the nonsense, as it were. later on, you would see in the next chapter how they went a whoring. So quickly. That's the sinful nature of men. Moreover, also, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify them. Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. And the prophet Ezekiel spoke concerning the sin of the people of God in not following, not keeping the Sabbath. You see, if you are remembering the Lord as the source of your blessing, then you would worship Him on that day. But if your heart is turn from God, He's no longer first, although He's the one that has the rightful, ought to be given that rightful place in your heart, because He's the one that is providing for you all of the things that you have. So Ezekiel wrote in verse 12 of Ezekiel 20, I just read to you. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord their God. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them, and my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. God wanted to bless them, and they choose to move away from Him. They choose cursing rather than blessing. How is it a sign? How is it called a sign? Because it distinguished God's people from the unbelieving world. Right? You said, on Sunday I go to church. I go and worship God. It is my appointed time to go to the house of God. I would not entertain other appointments on that day. I would not want to go to the beach, because I wouldn't want to go to any party, because I don't want to do anything for my own pleasure. I would like to take that time to reflect upon God's goodness upon me, and I would like to take the time to acknowledge what God has done for me. And so the Lord wants us to have that understanding, so that our spiritual life will be well, strong. You see, it distinguished God's people from the unbelieving world. There is a spiritual significance in that God appreciated the work that He wrought in the 6 days of creation. Its purpose was to impart that delight to men. The blessings that He will bring to men whom He created in His own image to have dominion and enjoy the paradise He has made for them. Right? That was our Sunday message. Daily His delight. Right? God's delight, God's joy came upon men. And how can you enjoy that delight? Keeping the Sabbath. You see, That's where you are able to enjoy the delight. I quote again, A.W. Pink, he said, in order to apprehend aright the spiritual import of the Sabbath, it is most necessary to observe that the first thing of all connected with it is the rest of God. God rested on the seventh day. The fact that God rested on the seventh day is undoubtedly recorded for the purpose of teaching that the Creator graciously condescended to set an example before His creators. God Himself set for us the example. He rested the seventh day. Yet, that there is also a deeper meaning to that statement. Nor do we think that the reference is solely to the Creator's delight and satisfaction in the works that He had done in the 6 days. But this rests that the Christian enjoys on the Lord's Day is a foretaste of the millennial rest. The Bible tells us that there will be 1,000 years whereby the world would enjoy an unprecedented state of peace. Right? In the last 6,000 years, we said, if we look back in human history, it is strife, turmoil, bloodshed. But in the millennium, God will appoint 1,000 years whereby Satan would be bound, and there will be a time when man would enjoy the new creation, the paradise that God would recreate on earth. And then we also said, right, that the Sabbath day, when we keep the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day, it is a foretaste of the eternal rest that will come. When you go to heaven, so was visiting a family yesterday, and the family shared how the father, when he was a young man, young boy, experienced a vision of heaven. That was during the time just towards the close of the Second World War, 1945, in August. He was sick, and he was transported, as it were, to heaven. And he was describing what he saw. And the family were all kneeling down, praying for him. And the brothers recorded what he said, what he saw. The heavenly vision. Well, he spoke of the terror of hell that he could see. And then he came back, and he lived for more than 80 years after that. Wow. The eternal rest, the mansion that Jesus says He will go and prepare for you. Do you know how beautiful it is, that eternal rest that God is going to give you in heaven? When you choose to believe in the power message of the gospel and experience the power of the gospel to liberate you from the bondage of sin. Right? Our sister prayed, right? Prayed the sinner's prayer, right? last week. Liberated from the bondage of sin. And what is that? What does that mean? It means that we will be saved from the fires of hell. And God will bring us to the eternal Sabbath, the eternal rest that God has appointed for His people. Heaven is a beautiful place, a wonderful place. You can never imagine what it is like. And the Sabbath that God has for us is a foretaste of the eternal rest that God gives to us. And He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to keep your appointment to come to God's house for worship on the Lord's Day. Right? You will find that there will be many pull factors that will cause you not to want to come. Many reasons. That's why the Lord has to set a commandment for our obedience, for our blessings, so that we would obey. So the Lord says it will be a time of rest. And what else will it be? Well, there's this man called C.A. Cotes. He says, indeed, the Sabbath speaks of things being brought to completion so that there is no more work to be done. All is finished and there is holy rest for God and His people. It is a day when we remember. This is what I added, huh? How we receive our being. We are who we are, Christians, because of what Christ had done for us. What we will be, where we'll be going. And so, the Lord wants us to understand this rest that He has appointed for you. And then the next thought is a day of refreshing. It's a gift of rest. And in that rest, you will receive your refreshing. You will be refreshed physically, spiritually. You will be strengthened. Verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For 6 days the Lord hath made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. After a good rest, do you feel yourself refreshed? Rest brings refreshing. God sets for us the example. And there is a refreshing that God promised to His people when we would delight in the Sabbath. So if you are delighting in the Sabbath, then you would be enjoying the benefits that He has for you in your life. It's not a ritual. It's a way of life by which you find strength for life. There is spiritual refreshing that comes to God's people when we reflect upon His goodness on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's Day, to count our blessings. You remember the hymn, O Day of Rest and Gladness. O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright. On Thee the high and lowly through ages join.
Sing holy, holy, holy to the great God triune.
What is it we are singing? God has made us holy. We are not suffering from the misery of sin, you know. Sin brings with it great suffering and misery. God has freed you from all this bondage. And you are praising Him for giving you, releasing you from the misery of the past. And blessing you with your present delight.
On thee at the creation, the light first has its birth. On thee for our salvation, Christ rose from death of earth. On thee, our Lord victorious, the Spirit sent from heaven. On thus, on thee most glorious, a triple light was gained.
The hymn writer was very inspired by his understanding of what God promises in the Sabbath. It is a day, right? The Lord's Day is a day when Christ rose from the dead. He defeated death for us. Defeated death, you know. Death. The greatest impasse of all mankind. God is going to give you eternal life. What does it mean? Well, you go to the Choa Chu Kang Cemetery, right? Then we would understand the pain of separation. But for the Christian, that separation is not eternal. It's not permanent. You know, it's a temporary separation. You will see your loved one again in the Lord.
Today on weary nations, the heavenly manna falls. To holy convocations, the silver trumpet calls. Where gospel light is glowing with pure and radiant beams, and living water flowing with so refreshing streams.
When you have the Lord with you, well, that's where the Lord would refresh your soul. You see, and the refreshing that God gives to you, you know, you have problems in your heart, you don't know how to solve. God gives you that peace that passes all understanding. Remember the church camp? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And when you come, you worship God, what do? Well, you bring all your cares, pour all your burdens upon the Lord, and let Him carry them for you. You know that it is wearisome, right? Today on weary nations, the heavenly manna falls. The gospel, the power of the gospel to save.
Right. New graces ever gaining from this our day of rest, we reach the rest remaining to spirits of the blessed. To Holy Ghost be praises, to Father and to Son. The Church her voice upraises, to thee, blessed three in one.
See, it's a foretaste of our eternal rest. What will heaven be like when we rest from our earthly labors? I'll put there in Revelation chapter 22. You can read it. For your strengthening, you know, inside heaven, most beautiful, most enjoyable, the eternal rest that God gives to you. But outside, wow, for without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And our Lord Jesus says, he which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we are looking forward to our eternal rest, you see. Thank God for the Sabbath rest and refreshing. Amen.